There's also another form of extremely perverse military research, and that is political science research subsidized by the army. So I'm going to talk about a specific program created by the army during the Cold War that is called the Security and Defense Forum. And that's a program that subsidizes political science research centers across Canada. It subsidizes 17 different research centers in a lot of Canadian universities. And we have the four Montreal universities that are being part of those, as well as Laval University in Quebec City. And in McGill, there's a joint research group between McGill and University of Montreal that is called the RIGIS, the Research and Expertise Group on International Security. So basically, that's a bunch of political science that are focusing on studying conflicts and other military issues that are paid by the army. So the first thing that we can think about is, what's the problem about studying military conflict? Like, it kind of makes sense to have some profs studying the circumstances and the context of a particular conflict. So logically, those kind of studies will be beneficial for society because that will bring advice or more information for the public. So when it comes a time where the population has to vote on some projects that include war or military offensive, that could be helpful. But however, that kind of research will only be really useful and credible if it was really independent. And the whole question is, how can a prof stay independent in that matters when he's or she's subsidized by the army? What we found when we studied the Security and Defense Forum is that it's nothing more than a program of subcontracting propaganda production. So that's the main part of it. But there's also another part that's also quite simple, is that the army doesn't only take advantage of the program by having prof doing their job at their place, because they could easily do the same thing themselves. Actually, they take advantage of their credibility and of their, try to imagine a TV show where there's an analysis on the war in Afghanistan, and when someone is interviewed and try to explain why are the Canadians in Afghanistan, what are we doing there, and for what reasons. And now just for a second, try to imagine if that person was the CEO of a military company, like Lockheed Martin, whose only role is to try to sell military planes. Will that person be considered as independent and credible? Probably not. It probably will be the same thing with military officers saying that. So they don't have much. They wouldn't have much credibility. But by having prof that are supposedly independent experts, that brings in a lot more credibility to what they say, even though they aren't more independent or expert than anyone else. I think the possible impacts of those research could be extremely big. It can go extremely far. The best example for that will be that in Canada, there is still a popular belief that by which most of the people think that our country, our military, is involved in peacekeeping missions. And most people think that Canada is not involved in missions in the same way that the Americans are. We're thinking that, yeah, Canadian soldiers, they're helping the poor people, they're involved in the Blue Helmets missions of the United Nations, and we think that we don't spend a lot on the military in general. That's just the result of all that propaganda saying that we should invest more and more in the army, and that basically that war brings peace. So, well, the prof, they have to produce propaganda, but they also have to bring that to the media, because otherwise, well, it would be useless. It's been brought to the media massively, and for example, in the 2006-2007 annual report of the Security and Defense Forum, it says that researchers gave 1,200 interviews to Canadian journalists, whether it's radio, newspapers, or television. So that's quite a lot. And we tried to find out how does this work exactly? Like, in their contract, in the contract between the research centers and the army, is there something that says you have to do at least that amount of interview per year, or you have to say that kind of analysis? And we didn't find that contract. that's a problematic situation, because if there was nothing to hide, what would be the point of hiding it? It's been refused every time we asked for it, and we've looked in the media and found that recently, like, some other journalists tried to find out that information, and what the chair of the UCAM research group said is that, no, we don't want to give you this information. That's not the kind of information that we would like to have a detail in a newspaper. So that basically says, not want us to know anything about what's going on. However, we can have some clues about what this contract might include. Well, last year, there's a contract of a political science research group, but a non-academic one, a think tank, that's called the Conference of Defense Association. And the contract finally got public. And the contract, and I have a quote of just here, it says that the Conference of Defense Association must support activities that give evidence of contributing to Canada's national policies. So basically, we have to say, they have to say that what the Canadian Army is doing is totally legitimate. And further in the document, we can read that CDA researchers must attain a minimum of 100 requests by medias for radio and television for interviews and material. So it's extremely clear that they have a quota that they have to respect, and that it could be seen also in their annual report, where they list every single interview that they did with the media. And so there's a law professor at the University of Ottawa that wrote an article about it last year, and that went through the media. It's been published at the same day as when the Afghan mission has been extended to 2011. So on that day, his letter got published, and he says that if the Conference and Defense Association's activities were neutral and unbiased, or even handily supported and questioned government policy, that the Army would refuse to pay according to their contract. So that brings very big democratic problems. Like, yes, in theory, we're living in a democracy where we can freely make any choice, and if our country goes to war, it's supposed to be because the population wants it. But if the only information we get about it to make our own opinion is biased information, it's propaganda, it raises a big problem. These groups are extremely different from other research groups in a way that they're extremely focused on going through the public and through the media with whatever they say. Like, normally a prof will do his research and work on it almost full time, and then publish a paper every few months or so, and goes through scientific papers that are read by other profs somewhere in other universities, and that's about it most of the time. It rarely goes through the media. But what we saw is that those research groups subsidized by the Army focus is about going through the media and educating the public. And at that level, there's the CEPAS, which is the research center at UCAM, that's subsidized by the Army, the equivalent of the RIGIS here at McGill. And it's in one of its annual report, we can read that the CEPAS role is to promote public debate on the issue of policies of Canadian security and defense. So we can see that this is extremely different from what the usual mandate of profs is. And further in that contract, we can see that, well, it's explained what kind of research and what kind of analysis they should provide. And it lists terrorism, weapons of mass destruction, and that could be extremely problematic. If we think about war that's been done by the US in the Middle East that had weapons of mass destruction as a justification, that kind of analysis could lead to massive deaths. And there's another point that's about defense procurement and management. There's a big problem with it, is that it is conflict of interest, because on the board of governor of that institution, of the Security and Defense Forum, we find people from the corporate sector, and more specifically from the oil and weapon industry. Just last year, there was someone from Encana, which is one of the biggest Canadian oil companies, that was sitting on that board of governors, and another one from CAE, which is the company that just a couple of weeks ago received a huge contract from the Canadian Army. So we can ask ourselves questions like, is it normal that someone's from a military contractor basically war profiteers, is on the board of directors of an institution that subsidizes researchers whose role is to give advice to the Canadian population about defense and procurement and management. Highly questionable. Another aspect to consider is that what we found is that the very specific field of study of political science research focused on conflicts and military studies is being overwhelmingly controlled by the military. It is extremely, extremely hard to be a political science prof focusing on these questions without being subsidized by the army. And as far as I know, there's only one prof in Quebec that is focusing on that kind of research and who publicly refuses any funding that comes from the army, but he refused to come here today. He might not want to talk against his colleague publicly. And we studied past reports of the Security and Defense Forum, and what we realized is that there are some key moments in recent military histories that coincide directly with big changes within the structure of the Security and Defense Forum. For example, in 2005, the Canadian Army's role in Afghanistan changed a lot. Canadian troops before that were in Kabul, in the capital, and they were doing a non-combat role. Basically, they were just standing there and trying to protect the embassy and stuff like that. But in the end of 2005 and beginning of 2006, Canadian soldiers moved to Kandahar, where the fights began. And that's at that period that we found in the annual reports of the research centers funded by the Army that there's been a 25% budget increase. Is that really a coincidence? And then in 2001, we find a similar structure, a similar event about the structure and the evaluation technique of the studies to make it much more productive. And that's the moment when basically there's been a shift in the Canadian Army used to participate to peacekeeping mission. But in 2001, it completely shifts. And now we're just involved in offensive missions. So basically it shows that that the army is in a very, very desperate situation because they have to exploit profs to try to influence the public opinion in their favor. This task must be especially extremely difficult, especially when it all comes to say that the best way to bring peace would be to wage war. The big reason why the army is taking advantage of that system is that when profs are going to the media, they don't have to say that they're financed by the army, so they are considered as being independent.